I'm just speculating right now. He was dealing with people who were coming to his Galatian church and telling him, I sat on the shores of Galilee when Jesus walked on the water. Who's this Paul? And the enemy will always try to get super spiritual, high star power. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. But we have to be set free from superstar mentality that is so prevalent in American culture. We got to get set free from that. We have to get set free from a culture that tries to elevate people to be stars. Follow the Hollywood stars and the business stars and the stars. You know what I mean? It's just, it's endless. Do what the star does and you'll be fine. And even in the Christian world, there are superstars and there are people who are ministers that try to be stars, to be super. They try it. They push it. They work it. There are books out that tell you how to be a Christian superstar. They don't say that because it's obvious. They don't say it like that, but that's what they're trying to do. If you do this, this, and this, you'll be a superstar in the church world. And God's not calling us to that. That's not what it's about. Again, I love the Babylon Bee. Why? They poke fun at Joel Osteen, one of the nicest people out there. But Joel Osteen has that star quality, right? Biggest church just about in America. That's why I like the Babylon Bee, because they poke fun at him. Poking fun at people like that, to me, is a form of saying it's not about them. It just helps you distance yourself from... So, yeah, Joel, yeah. I mean, I'm sure he's got qualities that I would like to be like, but I'm not him, and it's not like I'm trying to get myself in a picture with me next to Joel Osteen. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, quick, Joel, let me get a selfie with you, and then I can put it up so everybody can see that I'm in a picture with Joel Osteen. You see the mentality that's out there? Paul says, hey, he was saying, hey, I didn't run out there and say, hey, I've got this revelation. Peter, you need to see me, buddy, right now. I've got it, man. He didn't try to go right to the top. He didn't try to talk to anybody. He went to the desert. Arabia, that means nowhere. I've got this revelation from God. What do you want me to do, God? Go nowhere. I've got this revelation. I need to share this with everybody. What do you want me to do, Lord? Say nothing. Except when I tell you to. It's really, really important to understand the foundation of revelation, of a life of revelation, because it revolutionizes everything that you are and everything that, you know, what is going on here. Now, he said, I didn't consult. I didn't go to Jerusalem. I went away and then I went to a Damascus, which was in the next town, Syria. And then he says, after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem. Now, he was preaching all this time, sharing the revelation that God had given him, but he didn't try to make himself one of the elite. In verse 22, it says, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. Wow, that's amazing. Yes. Okay, so now I want you to turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to read Acts chapter 1, verse 1. And we're going to talk about what happened to the apostles, because the apostles were pretty much the same way. Acts 1, verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. In the first book, O Theophilus, Acts chapter 1, verse 1, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he has chosen. Now look and see what Jesus did. He, Jesus, presented himself alive to them after his suffering, about many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Jesus' number one priority after his resurrection was appearing to them. He didn't sit down and give them a list of all the names of the principalities and powers he defeated in hell. He didn't sit down and give them a list of scriptures. You see what I'm saying? His number one purpose after the resurrection was to appear. He wanted them to see him. It was the most important thing. The most important thing that you need with Jesus is to see him. To see him. Because if you see him, you will be like him. You will know him. It's seeing Jesus. So I have this saying many times. You need to see Jesus in the Word. If you don't read the Bible and you don't see Jesus, you're not reading it with the Holy Spirit helping you. You got to see Jesus. Because all that Jesus cared about after his resurrection was, I'm going to show myself to you and prove myself to you. I'm going to present myself to you. That literally means somebody being called to a presentation to come up and say, here I am. If you're called and you get presented, you're presented. So he literally said, I am coming to present myself to you. Because it's so important. He took 40 days. 40 days to impart to them a full revelation of who he is. 40 days. And in those 40 days, you don't have a whole lot of record of teaching, do you? Not in there. There's not a whole lot of teaching. He didn't say, you know, you got to believe this, 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 and this, and make sure you say the Trinity right, and make sure you baptize people the right way, and make sure that you dip people three times left and right and up and down. Come on. He didn't give them a list of do's, don'ts, doctrines. He said, look, I am coming to you and you need to see me. You got 40 days and you're going to see me, and it's going to give you everything you need for the rest of eternity. Amen. We need to see Jesus. We need to see him. There are many words for seeing in the New Testament, but there's only one word that was used right here in Acts chapter 1 to see Jesus. And it has that word opto in it. I love it because you think of the word optometrist. Okay? You think of the word, you know, going to get your eyes corrected. And hopefully, when you have the proper vision, you are seeing things clearly. And so what he's saying to them, look, I am presenting myself to you and I'm appearing. That means you're seeing me clearly just the way I am. It's not so much of Jesus appearing. There's a different word for appearing. The word he uses is he had them see him. It's like he made them see. That's different. He made them actually see him. And there's one other place that Paul talks about seeing with the same word. Luke uses it in Acts chapter 1. And they appeared for 40 days. By the way, this is another teaching. Jesus did in 40 days what Israel could not do in 40 years. Wow. And how many days did Jesus spend in the wilderness fasting? 40 days. That's God's plan. So remember, when you go in the desert, don't expect to be there. You're not going to be there for 40 years. Anyway, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. This is so, so important. This is so important. First Corinthians 15, verse 1. Where am I? I think I didn't go to the right place. Let's try it again. 1 Corinthians 15. Yay. Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I remember I first heard this message from a guy named Jack Sisler years ago, and it stayed with me. So, 1 Corinthians 15. What you're seeing here in 1 Corinthians 15 is perhaps the very first confession that's been written down in the Bible, because the Gospels were written pretty much after when Paul wrote this letter. Paul wrote this letter like very early in this. So what you're seeing is an early church confession. All right. So when he says his gospel, here it is. So we're following up 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. I will remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, right, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. I love that. Past tense and future. All there. Past, present, and future. You received it, you stand in it, and you're being saved, if you hold fast to it, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance. Everybody say first importance. The first important thing in your life is what? Christ died for my sins in accordance with the scripture. Come on, everybody say amen to that. If someone would say to you, how do I get saved? What do you say? Christ died according to your, Christ died for your sins, right? Mostly, hear that, great, nothing wrong with it. Then after that, what's the second thing? He was what? Well, you got to say they buried him. You got to. The gospel is more than Jesus dying for your sins, right? Don't leave the good part out, right? Don't ever just stop saying he died for you. He died for you. Well, no, he did more than die. He was buried. They put him in the ground. They rolled the stone over the tomb. Nobody was getting in there. They put a couple guards over the tomb. Right? Second thing, he was buried. Very important. Third thing, what is it? He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. There's where the scriptures come in. So, if you're saved and someone comes to you, how can I be saved? What are you going to say? Jesus what?
Died for your sins. Right?
He was buried. And then he was raised from the dead on what day? The third day, according to what? The scriptures. And you don't stop there. That's the problem. We stop there. Don't stop with the scriptures. I just got that on the fly. That was good. That was good. Don't stop with saying according to the scriptures. Don't stop there, because Paul doesn't stop there. That's not the gospel. Amen. It is not the gospel to say Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the grave. That's not Paul's gospel. That's because you left something out. He appeared to them. He appeared to them after his resurrection. He appeared to them. And we, because we just want to say, look, just be a Christian. Do what I say. I'll teach you what's in the scriptures and just be good. Isn't that what you hear all the time? Paul needed the appearance, just as much as Peter needed the appearance of Jesus, just as much they sat at his feet and heard him teach, but it was his appearance that changed them in faith. They did not believe the scriptures until he appeared. And you cannot believe the Bible until he appears in your life. And until the Holy Spirit comes and writes the scripture on your heart, the scripture will kill you in the hand of man. It will kill you. It'll suck the life out of you. It'll cause you to work yourself to death and not get anything for it. You'll spend money, you'll spend time, you'll go places and get nothing without Jesus appearing to you. And he doesn't just say appearing once, does he? Who does he appear to? He says it a lot. Why do I say it a lot, Paul? Well, if I was Paul, I would say because you need to hear it real good. Because I was a religious, fanatic person. And I lived for the scriptures. The scriptures were my God. They literally put the scripture scrolls inside the Ark of the Covenant. But God said, my son is on the throne, not a roll of paper. Amen. Double thumbs up, Jesus. We don't worship a scroll. The scroll got unsealed, praise God, by the Lamb. Hallelujah. So how many times did he say appeared? Huh? Well, he appeared first to Peter, then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once. There's the word appeared again. Most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. They don't use the word dead, by the way. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he also appeared to me. That's our testimony. So when you tell someone, well, what must I do to be saved? Jesus died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And he appeared to Peter. He appeared to the 12. He appeared to 500 at the same time. He appeared to Paul and James, and he appeared to me. And I was born at the wrong time, but God is not a slave to time. Amen. We need his appearing. Wow. I'm going to try to give you a couple practical things here. What does that look like? To live by the revelation revolution. What could that look like? Be sensitive to people using the scriptures in a homicidal way. Be careful of people using Bible teaching in a homicidal way. Paul said the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. I cannot tell you. Sometimes I go to a place and I go, these people are really sweet. They're really nice. But it is so dry here. It's dry. It's dry. Where is the water of God? Where is it? Now, I don't think dryness is always death. But then there are people who are, like I said, they're homicidal with the scripture. And they'll try to manipulate your feelings. Come on now. They'll use guilt. That's one way to manipulate people. They'll use pride to manipulate you into making you think You're all that in a bag of chips. Still my favorite saying for pride. They'll try to intellectually impress you with their knowledge, to intimidate you with fear. Like, I have 20 letters after my name for all the degrees I have. Okay. Always ask the Holy Spirit to write His word on your heart. That's the second thing. Let the words of Jesus touch you right here. Next thing. The atmosphere of the presence of God is more important than the length of teaching. I'll never forget, I don't know who it was. Maybe it was Marlene. She goes, she when she first started coming to church, it's just great meeting people, but she said to me one time, she goes, Pastor John, that message you gave that lasted only 5 minutes was the best message you have ever preached. Yeah. I loved it. I knew exactly what she was saying, but I was like laughing because like that says, you are such a sorry preacher. You can't hold anybody's attention more than 5 minutes. But if you could just spit it out in 5 minutes, man, God will really use you. Now, come on. Now, you can look at it that way in the world, right? There are people that were made millionaires by their ability to teach you how to communicate. I know that. I'm just kidding. Because we're family. That's why I brought your name up. I knew you'd be able to take it. Like, you know, like if it was Kelsey, she'd be under the seat right now. But to me, that expresses what revelation is all about. It's not about the fact that I can communicate in 5 minutes or how good I am that I can get my messages exactly down to 20 or 25 or 45 through scientific study. We've determined that people can only absorb at 43.5 seconds of teaching. And then if you kick it right, you know, and then you get people that will literally try to click you into some kind of thing, you know, where you follow the, you know what I mean? It's just, but that's the way it is. That's the world. It's the present evil age. That's the way things work. That's how they work. But if all you get up one Sunday and say, Jesus loves you, and God shows up, amen, what's the point of saying anything else? What's the point? When Paul said in Ephesians, he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you do video messages, YouTube messages, books, pamphlets, 35 screens in there, plus your own personal screen so you can get all that word in you richly. Is that what he said in there? He says, as you sing, wow, that's worship, man. And, right? Was it now? Let the word of Christ dwell with you richly as you sing. Praise God, right? With psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord. Giving thanks to God. So the model of the richness of the word is not what we often see in church. Maybe we need to add some more video screens so you can get more information coming in there. What? Yeah, we got to get that fixed, right? That's why I thought it was kind of funny because I was going to bring this point up. You know, and it's like, okay. Well, God timed it so that it would burn out. I don't know. But my point is, and I want to explain this to you because, like in the Bible, you'll see stories about people I love Samuel, and I love David, and I love the stories of David and Saul and things like that. But where was David schooled as a prophet and as a worshiper? Where was he when all that happened? He was hanging out with the sheep in the wilderness. And then he was anointed by Samuel. And that everything changed. Well, the word for anointing is Mashiach. That's what they called Jesus, the Mashiach. So once the Jesus was on him, he had everything he needed. He had everything he needed. He had Jesus. And when he was hiding from Saul, right, in the school, the prophets, what were they doing? Worshiping, right? They were praising God. They were prophesying. And then Saul's chasing after him with a sword, goes in the room, and what happens to him? Boom. Strips his clothes off. Starts prophesying. Takes off his armor, I guess. The reason why I want to say that is because it's in my heart to see everybody here minister in the calling that God has given them. That's my heart. Now, the culture, and we've done this, we do this, but if I want, I want to see Kenny come into his calling in God. I'm going to single you out, boy, because you deserve it. I want to see Kenny come into his calling in God. Now, I could say, Kenny, you have to get this class, do this thing, this, you know what I mean, go to school, get these degrees. But that's not the ways of God. I'm not saying you shouldn't get those, okay? Don't get me wrong. But I want to see him come into his calling. I don't want to miss it. So, we had some time of impartation and training and a couple of years ago that Kenny was a part of. It's powerful. But it's not in the amount of information I can pass on to you, because God's not raising him up to be a teacher, like, you know, just teach information. That's not what God's doing. God wants him to be an apostle, man of God, shepherd. Well, David became a shepherd by hanging out with the sheep. God anointed him. And I tell you, the first thing I wanted to do after I got saved was go to Bible school, and God said no. Go back to music school. That's what he said. I so wanted to go. I really, really, really wanted to go. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know what Found Schultz calls PhDs? Permanent head damage. God delivered him, healed him of permanent head damage. And it's not that I'm anti-intellectual, because then the world will try to say, oh, you're just an ignorant hick from the South. Well, I'm not from the South. I'm from New York. Anyway, yeah, I am from Hicksville. I got saved there. Every time when I first moved down to Martinsville, they'd say, where you got saved? Hicksville. They all started cracking up. It's so funny. Anyway, I came to the right place. So the emphasis here, and here's the thing, I think some of you may get frustrated or you don't understand. Kenny may say, and I feel this for your wife too, you need to share this with Elizabeth. God's called her to be a prophet. And I hear her saying to God, God, if you've called me to this, why am I not doing more? Why am I not studying? Or maybe I should be, you know what I mean, because that's the way people think. You know, you should be like, get this, 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 and this, and go through these steps, and then you graduate to become a junior achiever prophet. And you know what I'm saying? And then you get to be like mid-level. I went to Boy Scouts. I know. I went through, Yeah, I was a wolf, and then that was a Cub Scout. I think then I was a lion, and then anyway. So, but here's the thing, God can teach you and raise you up in prophetic ministry without a program. And sometimes that's his choice. It's through relationship with Jesus. It's through the revelation of Jesus. What did Paul get to qualify him to be an apostle? He just got blinded by Jesus. So, sure, the guy knew the scriptures. You couldn't be a rabbi like he was. He was a rabbi. He was the only rabbi that was the apostle, right? So God chose 11 people who were not rabbis. The one rabbi he chose was not a physical witness of Jesus. God knows what he's doing. We need to learn from the Lord. And not let the ways of the world fool us into thinking that somehow we're not qualified. God wants to raise you up and raise you up to be prophets and anointed apostles, missionaries, pastors, teachers. But he wants to do it. That's why we emphasize an open heaven. An open heaven to me is more important. I've done this. I have books in my library. I love them. We've taught classes. We've taught courses. We've taught the scriptures from Genesis all the way to Revelation. 55 points to make you a victorious Christian. And then another year goes by, 55 points to make you a wonderful person. I mean, they're all repackaged all the same way. We've done this. How many of you have got a closet full of Christian T-shirts from this kind of stuff, right? It's all there. Everybody's got one, right? But after a while, you have to realize that those things are not bad in and of themselves. They're necessary, but they're not fundamental. That's what Paul is saying. You have to have revelation. Amen. Revelation. And his 3 years were not at the feet of Jesus physically, but were at the feet of Jesus in the heavenly realm where Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Guess what? That's the place I would prefer to learn from. Though it would have been awesome to be there with Jesus. You know, that would have been awesome, but nothing like going to heaven and getting him to teach you what you need to know. And then Paul then connected with other apostles so that it said, I know that I would not have run in vain. I know that whatever I learned, I know it was right. So he went for affirmation and strengthening. But he knew where his source came from. Amen. And that's all we are. That's all we are. That's all we are. We're just the messengers. We're just the letter carriers. That's all we are. We're not the big deals.